Okay, so we'll go ahead and get started. If anybody needs a Rotherham, I have extras so that we can all do it. And again, there is so much more. I do use my electronic devices, but for the people watching and people here, there's so much more that's gained and so many extra notes and things that are put inside for emphasis. So really, it really does help when you read it. Now, obviously, for convenience sake, I still use it. Like if I'm out somewhere and I've got 20 minutes to wait, I can pull out my phone and read it, where the Rotherham, having it in my back pocket, may not be available. But I would encourage people to get a copy of Rotherham, those people who are watching, and really start exploring it. You'll be amazed at the things that you find and what comes off the pages that you may have read many times and never saw before. Okay.
Amen.
Here we go. So I'm doing a little sharing tonight with something kind of on my heart, and it's promises and vows. Yeah, and I did a teaching similar to this when we went through the book of Ecclesiastes with some of the things, and I do use one of the scriptures from that. But you can turn that light on too if you need to, or in there back behind you if it's too dark. But this is, it's important. We're going to look at a story within Jeremiah on this and see exactly how this plays out. How to not do and how to do the promises and the vows. Okay, so a couple quotes here. Magic tricks to make people disappear, ask them to fulfill their promises. Okay, and I've always loved this one by Robert Frost. The woods are lovely, dark, and deep, but I have promises to keep and miles to go before I sleep, miles to go before I sleep. In other words, that he wants to stop and take it all in, but because of commitments, he can't. Okay, but I always loved that one. Anyway, Oxford Dictionary, as we go through here, we look at this. Promise. A declaration or assurance that one will do a particular thing or that particular thing will happen. And a vow, a promise or set of promises committing one to a prescribed role, calling, or course of action. Okay, so when we make a vow to Yahweh that we're going to do something, it is a promise as well, but a vow is saying that this is a course of action. Promise can be as well. I promise you I'll pay you back tomorrow. It can be, both of them can be very official within Yahweh, and both of them can be, the vow is obviously not. Neither of them should be broken. They both become official when you're making these things to Yahweh. So, I'm going to show you something here real quick that I really think is kind of funny. This is
the end.
The end.
All right, here we go. That should be loud enough. Hopefully you guys can hear at home or those people watching.
I can never make it. Help me, Lord. Please. I promise not to try and kill myself anymore. Save me and I swear I'll be a better father. I'll be a better man. I'll be a better everything. All I ask is, make me a better swimmer. Oh, God. I can't do this to Julie. We can't do this to Julie.
Transition. Like Yahweh and like a Yahweh problem as well.
Oh, God, let me live. And I promise.
that's all content. Okay, but it happens when people expand it out, where they make promises, and over time, things change, especially when people are in deep despair that a lot of those things, if this happens, if you do this, I'll do this. So many times people have told me, like, if they had a relative that was diagnosed with something horrendous, that I promise if you take care of this person, heal this person, and the person comes around and gets better, and boy, people quickly forget. And so that's where we look at it, the vows, the making these promises. I had to do that because that was one of my favorite ones. I've always loved that. It's always made me laugh.
So we're about even when we get to the beach.
Okay, we're even. Okay, we all good? All right. So, anyways, back to it. Okay, to lay the stage for tonight's story is in Jeremiah chapter 41 that we're going to be starting at. And to lay it out, here's what's taking place. After Nebuchadnezzar had taken the children of Israel into captivity, he left a remnant of people in the land, appointing Gedaliah as governor over the land. Ishmael, now this is another Ishmael. There's a few Ishmaels within the word. This is not the Ishmael that people normally think. Ishmael, who was of royal blood, was offended by the appointment of Gedaliah. Ishmael conspires against and kills Gedaliah along with the Chaldean soldiers assigned to him. The remnant of the people became fearful of the Babylonians' anger and retaliation for Ishmael's treachery. They set out to flee to Egypt. As they were going, these fugitives of Judah asked advice from Jeremiah. Okay, so these people now are under fear. How many times do people make the vows and promises when they're under extreme duress and fear? Hey, that's when it normally happens. Get me out of this, and this is what happens. Okay, Yahweh takes heed to those things. He absolutely, you make a vow, he hears your vow. So when we start off here, let's go ahead and go to chapter 41. I do have a lot of reading, so I'll be asking for some help with people volunteering here with me if they would.
Yeah.
And so here we go. Right here. Jeremiah 41:17, and I'll start off by reading. This is I'm starting it in the last two verses of chapter 41, and then we're going to go right into 42. Okay, so if you see on the bottom left-hand page there, and tonight as we go through here, we're racing to see who can get the page number of the scripture first.
763.
So when you get it, well, I put tons of that a long time ago.
Yeah.
But next ones to come up. Call them out, whoever's first. You wanna? I'll let you read next one, okay?
What?
Do you want to read the next one after this?
Okay.
If you want to. I thought you asked to read. I'm sorry, I misunderstood you. Okay. Starting in verse 17 of chapter 41. Again, this is where I'm backing this up. I laid down the framework of the story, and now we're jumping into it. And they departed. These are the people that were coming to Jeremiah. And they departed and dwelt in the Khan of Chirhaim, which is in near Bethlehem, that they might go to enter Egypt because of the Chaldeans, for they were afraid of them. Because Ishmael, son of Nethaniah, had smitten Gedaliah, son of Ahikam, who the king of Babylon had set charge over the land. Okay, so starting off now here in chapter 42, the first six verses. Then drew near all the captains of the forces, and Johanan, son of Kareah, and Jezaniah, son of Hoshiah, and all the people from the least even to the greatest, and said unto Jeremiah the prophet, let our supplication, we beseech thee, fall prostrate before thee, and let us in thou behalf unto Yahweh, thy Elohim, in behalf of all this raiment, for we are left a few of many, just as thine own eyes do be held up, that Yahweh, thy Elohim, may tell us the way wherein we should walk, and all the things that we should do. Now here they are coming to him begging, oh, you've got to tell us, please tell us what's he say, what's he going to do? Okay, they're seeking for the wisdom. And Jeremiah the prophet, starting in verse 4, said unto them, I have heard, behold me, praying unto Yahweh your Elohim, according to the words, and it shall come to pass, that the whole thing that Yahweh shall answer, you I will tell you, I will keep back from you nothing. They therefore said unto Jeremiah, in verse 5, Yahweh be against us as a witness, true and faithful, if according to all the word which Yahweh thy Elohim shall send unto thee, unto us, so we do not perform, whether for good or for ill. Do you hear this? There's their first vow. Whatever Yahweh says, whether good or ill, in other words, whether it's welcome news or unwelcome news, we'll do it, okay? Good or ill, unto the voice of Yahweh our Elohim, for which we are sending thee unto him, will we hearken? to the end, it may be well with us, because we will hearken unto the voice of Yahweh our Elohim. Okay? So there it is. There's the third promise, and we're going to see how this story transpires as we go through this. Okay? So the promise made, they came to Jeremiah and asked for counsel. Good job. Okay? And then they said that we'll do whatever. We'll do whatever it said, whatever Yahweh tells us we'll do. But their minds were already decided on what they were going to do to seek refuge in Egypt. They had already planned this out, packed up, ready to go. And so the better thing would have been to come to Jeremiah before you set up a plan, okay? To get the word of Yahweh before you start packing the bags. Now, if you're waiting to do this and you're like, oh, we haven't heard anything yet, we're going to do this, but to have the malleable mind that if it comes into something I'm not supposed to do, then I'll change the plans. We're just going to do what's called for. So a person who asks advice should be honest and not have a predetermined course of action or agenda. Whether good or ill, and this is it, unto the voice of Yahweh, our Elohim, for which we are sending thee unto him, will hearken. Okay? This should be the creed of the believer. We're going to do what Yahweh tells us. It may not be what's on the top of our list of things to do. Okay? But that doesn't make a difference. And this, I call this teaching the bidding of Yahweh, because that's what it is. The desires of Yahweh coming forth. Now, that can be something that is for us, could be something for Yahweh, could be something for the body that we're close around, but this is the words that's coming from Yahweh. We should be looking. Yahweh first. I'll do what you say. So when people say, he's my co-pilot. No, he's not in the back seat. And he's really not driving. He's in me. He is my eyes. He's my ears. He's my heart. And we together are driving the car. Okay? Because Yahweh can, he'll do it, but he's asking us to step out. So if I tell him, well, I'll be the co-pilot and you be the pilot, the car may not go anywhere for a while. It may sit there. Okay? But I say, I'll do it. Put me in. You tell me where to go, what to watch for, what to see, where to stop, anything I need to go, and now the two of us become one pilot. Okay? So, even though it may be contrary to your desires, you just have to get in everything, don't you? We should always embrace what Yahweh requires and commands. Serving Yahweh out of convenience, as long as it's what we want, is now, in other words, convenience as long as what Yahweh wants is what we want. Okay? Be willing to obey His bidding and not our own. Okay, here we go. Race is on. Go. Joshua 24:24.
Two fifty-seven.
Okay, good job, Aaron. Okay, we're in chapter 24.
Okay,
it's actually 58.
258.
Because it's verse 24 through 27. If somebody would read this for me, please.
I will. And the people said unto Joshua, Yahweh our Elohim will we serve, and unto his voice will we hearken. So then Joshua solemnized the covenant for the people on that day, and set for them a statute and a regulation in Shechem.
Mm-hmm. Shechem.
And Joshua wrote these words in the scroll of the law of Yahweh, and took a great stone and set it up there under the oak that was by the sanctuary of Yahweh. And Joshua said unto all the people, lo, this stone shall serve against us as a witness, for it hath heard all the sayings of Yahweh which he hath spoken with us. So shall it serve against you as a witness, lest ye should act deceptively against your enemies.
That's it. Okay, that's it. And so this is a promise of well. And one of the things I like about this, and I think it would be a good habit to have, there's somebody who's making a vow or a promise to Yahweh to have something physical that they do it with. In other words, it can even be a piece of paper that's on the mirror. It can be, exactly, it can be anything. It can be, I'm making a rock structure in my front yard so that every time I see it, it reminds me that, it's going to do one of two things. It's going to either remind me or it's going to afflict me that I have broken my vow, my promise. And so I see that to where you put these. So many times through the Old Testament where they would go somewhere and Yahweh came through them, they would build a memorial for what happened. Mm-hmm. I think the same thing is a great idea for us in our lives when we make those vows and those promises, to do the same thing of some sort, some kind of a physical reminder that we can look at and see, I made that vow and here it is. This symbolizes my vow to me. When I see this, I'll remember this is the vow I made. Okay. Next one.
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy 27, verse 9. Who calls it?
Well, it's 25.
All right, Shauna. All right, it's neck and neck. It's 1-1. All right, 225.
Which one for you?
225 verses, or 27 verses 9 and 10. Okay, and you see there's a break in between there. Now what I'm doing is I'm kind of showing some other points of the things of how people went to get the information. So starting at verse 9 of chapter 27, and Moses and the priests, the Levites, spake unto all Israel, saying, keep silence and hear, O Israel. This day hast thou been made a people unto Yahweh thy Elohim. Thou shalt therefore hearken unto the voice of Yahweh thy Elohim, and do his commandments and his statutes, which I am commanding thee today. That's it. Okay? And so that's it, to do those commandments, to do those statutes, to hear the word and the commandments, and put on our hearts those commandments, those things that Yahweh tells me to do, therefore I will do. So here's something. I modified this and added some things to it. It was a quote. It's not always easy to smile and be nice when we are all called to sacrifice. It's not always easy to put Yahweh first, especially when tired and feeling our worst. It's not always easy to do Yahweh's will. It wasn't easy for Christ on Calvary's Hill. But as we, his children, should learn to obey, not seeking our own, but seeking his way. Where our captain bids us go, 'tis not ours to murmur no. He that gives the armor, sword, and shield, equips and directs on the battlefield.
Me.
So, anyways, this is it. So as Yahweh gives us the information, he sets us up and equips us for those. And so as we step out, even for people who are learning about the word, and it comes to prophesying or speaking in tongues, okay, this is the equipping that he gives people. The equipping of, here's the armor, here's the things, here's the what we have to go against. And so when we take these things, we say, yeah, give that here, I'll take it. I'll absolutely take it. And this is how we do some of the battle. And how we also build up our side. Okay, the side of Christ, how we build up through those things. But that's exactly what I liked about that, is that the battlefield is there. We are going to do battle. We are going to come across it. This is why we have armor, the spiritual armor that we have. It's because of battle. We're going to get battle. The sword is the only offensive thing of that armor. That's it. One offensive thing, every other thing is defensive. Okay, and so as you go out there, that's what we're looking at. Is that, yes, he's giving you the sword to be offensive. And that's where we're on the battlefield. We're called to do the things. Ecclesiastes 5:4. All right, it's 1-1. Come on.
Start with the Proverbs.
Wait, what are the Proverbs that I read?
6:38.
Aaron,
2-1. I was looking in Ezekiel.
I was going to play. 6:38.
Yeah.
And if somebody would read that for me, please, verses 4 and 5.
You want to read one?
6:38.
5, 4, and 5.
When thou vowest a vow unto Yahweh, do not defer to pay it, for there is no pleasure in dullards
or fools.
What thou vowest pay, better that thou shouldest not vow than vow and not pay.
So that's it. Five is very, intense, if you will. Better not to vow than to vow and not to pay. Okay. And so it's something to think about before they do that, to not haphazardly just throw them out and think about those things. But again, to make those promises and make them concrete within a person that does vow. Jeremiah 42. We're going back. You remember the page? I could have told you to keep the bookmark there, but then it would keep the race from happening.
740.
Jeremiah
Jeremiah 42.
No, that's
765-ish.
763. All right. Tied up. Okay, now I'm going to be reading a lot. I might ask some people to help me read here. It is on page 763 on the right-hand column, and we're starting off in verse 9, and I've got a bit of reading to do because now we're jumping back to the story here, okay, with what's taking place. Starting in verse 9, and said unto them, Thus saith Yahweh, Elohim of Israel, unto whom ye sent me, to cause your supplication to fall prostrate before him. If ye will indeed abide in the land, in this land, then will I build you up, and not pull you down, and plant you, and not uproot you. They want to leave to go to Egypt because they think it's going to be better. And he's telling them to stay. He's telling them to stay. Now, this is where a person may look at that and they think to themselves, well, what if things are really bad here? It's treacherous. There's people out to kill us. There's all these things that are going to happen. That's where your own thoughts are clicking in saying, I think we're better off doing the other things. Well, Yahweh's telling them right here to stay, to not be uprooted, okay? And so, sorry here, I'm going to start there in verse 10 again. If you will indeed abide in this land, then will I build you up and not pull you down and plant you and not uproot you. For I have compassion of touching the calamity which I have caused you. Do not fear in the faces of the king of Babylon, of whose faith ye are afraid. Do not fear him, urgeth Yahweh. For with you am I to save you and to deliver you out of his hand, that I may grant you compassion and that I may have compassion upon you and suffer you to return unto your own soil. But since ye are saying, we will not dwell in this land, nor hearken unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, saying, No, for into the land of Egypt we will go, where we shall not see war, nor the sound of a horn shall we hear, nor for bread shall we be famished, there then will we dwell. How quickly we change from good or ill will do what you say. Somebody want to pick up there at 15?
Yeah, I will. Now therefore, for this cause, hear ye the word of Yahweh, O remnant of Judah. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, Sasha Judah, Elohim of Israel, if ye do indeed set your faces to enter Egypt, and do enter to sojourn there, then shall it come to pass that the sword which ye are fearing shall there overtake you in the land of Egypt. And the famine which ye are dreading shall there lay fast hold of you, in Egypt, and there shall ye die. So shall it be with all the men who have set their faces to enter Egypt, to sojourn there. They shall die by sword, by famine, or by pestilence, and they shall have neither survival nor escape from the face of the calamity which I am about to bring upon them. For thus saith Yahweh of your hosts, Elohim of Israel, just as my anger and my indignation have been poured out upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so shall my indignation be poured out upon you when you enter into Egypt. Thus shall ye become a curse and an astonishment and a contempt and a reproach, and ye shall no more see this place. Yahweh hath spoken concerning you, O ye remnant of Judah, do not enter into Egypt. Know certainly that I have taken you to witness today, for ye have deceived yourselves at the vows of your lives. For ye yourselves sent me unto Yahweh, your Elohim, saying, Pray thou in our behalf unto Yahweh, our Elohim, and according to all that Yahweh, our Elohim, shall say, so shall us, we will do it. Therefore have I told you today, and yet ye have not hearkened unto the voice of Yahweh, your Elohim. Even in anything for which ye have taken, which ye have sent me unto you. Now therefore, know ye certainly that by sword or by famine or by pestilence shall ye die in the place wherein ye have desired to go to sojourn.
That's it. Okay, so we got the warning now about this, that you wanted this, you wanted the word, now I told you it's not what you wanted to hear and you're going to do it anyway. When they tell you, when Yahweh tells you that, hey, you know what happened to France in World War II? It's going to happen to you. Okay? People should look at that and think to themselves, golly, they were completely overrun. If you were a Jew, it's going to happen. All these things should be right fresh on their memory, that what happened to Jerusalem, you are going to go through. That's going to happen. This is going to take place. And the people still, it's not what they want to hear from Yahweh. In other words, they had a one way. It's like a diode, if you will. Diode, electricity runs in one way, it does not run back out the other way. And so if you get what you want, you process it through. If you don't, and it comes back the other way, reject. Okay? And that's exactly what they did. That's what a lot of people do. I've been there before, too. You're praying for something in specific that you want, and you get something that tells you something different. And you're like going, it's not what I want. Okay. Well, I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay. Well, wrong choice. The bidding of Yahweh. The bidding of Yahweh is at the top. That's our creed. Okay. Obey Yahweh and be blessed, or disobey and face the consequences. Promises broken. Notice the reaction of the people when the answers they seek did not come back the way they expected or wanted. It's a total rebellion now. Okay, they're actually pretending like they're seeking Yahweh. They never really were, because they already had their mind made up. But when they didn't get what they expected, they rebelled. They absolutely rebelled against Him. We'll serve Yahweh as long as His desires align with our attitudes. And this is a great one. We promise according to our hopes and perform according to our fears. Never should be that way under Yahweh.
Frenchman there.
That's exactly right. Exactly right. And that is perfect, because this person should never, if you will see that and read that, think to yourself, yellow. Okay, what the heck is wrong with you? That's exactly right. Okay, when you perform according to your fears, you are performing to your own natural state and not what Yahweh is calling you to do. Yahweh tells you to do something else. Well, I'm fearful to speak in tongues in front of people, or to prophesy, or to stand out and heal somebody. Well, then guess what? It's gone. You lost it because you're fearful of that. And so this is the exact opposite of what a Christian should be. Not to do this, but we find ourselves. And when you find yourself being directed by your fears, it's time to reanalyze. Hey, wait a second. This is fear. Yahweh doesn't give me fear. It's not from Yahweh that I have this fear. Jeremiah 43.
763.
Yeah, right. He's on the books now. All right. I'm going to start reading here, and we're going to continue this story here in 43:1-7. And I'll go ahead and start. Actually, if somebody else read, my eyes are kind of giving me some grief here. I'll read it.
Unless Elijah wanted to.
Just 43.
Yeah, read the 3 and I'll finish.
And it came to pass, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking unto all the people all the words of Yahweh their God, with which Yahweh their God had sent him unto them, even all these words, then spake Azariah son of Hosea, and Johanan son of Kareth, and all the proud men, saying unto Jeremiah, falsely art thou speaking. Yahweh our God hath not sent thee to say, ye shall not enter Egypt to sojourn.
That's it. And so now not only are they saying that they're not going to do it, now they're saying, no, that's not from Him. Now we're going beyond that, the next stage of rebellion. That was never said. That was never told to be said. Go ahead there. Thank you there. I appreciate it. Verse 3.
Okay. All right. I'll stop. But Baruch, son of Neriah, is goading thee on against us, that he may deliver us unto the hand of the Chaldeans to put us to death, or take us away captive to Babylon.
So Johanan son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces, and all the people hearkened not unto the voice of Yahweh, by remaining in the land of Judah. But Johanan, son of Kareah, and all the captains of the forces took all the remnants of Judah, who had returned out of all the nations, whither they had been driven, to sojourn in the land of Judah, both the men and the women, and the children and the daughters of the king, and every soul that Nebuzaradan chief of the royal executioners had left. Gaudea, son of Achan, son of Sathan, son of Jeremiah, the prophet, and Barak, son of Nera, had entered the land of Egypt. They hearkened not unto the voice of Yahweh. Yea, entered as far as Taphinias.
That's right, they carried him away. They carried him away. So even with all the words, they came back and said, no, we're already doing this. It's going to happen. And so now they disputed that it was even the word of Yahweh, that he was told to say these things, and took everybody and went to Egypt. They took them all. They've been taken away captive now. Okay, continue this story here, and I'll start reading this here. This is the last big read that we have here. We're doing this story. It's a great story to show this, the rebellion and the false seeking of Yahweh. And we're starting in verse 11, okay, which is kind of in the right there in the top right corner there. 11:28. Therefore, thus saith Yahweh of hosts, Elohim of Israel, behold me, setting my face against you for calamity, even to cut off all Judah, and I will take the remnant of Judah, who did set their faces to enter the land of Egypt, to sojourn there, and they shall be consumed in the land of Egypt. Shall they fall by the sword? By famine shall they be consumed. From the least even among unto the greatest, by the sword and by famine shall they die. So shall they become a curse and an astonishment and a contempt and a reproach. And I will bring punishment unto them who are dwelling in the land of Egypt, just as I brought punishment unto Jerusalem, by sword, by famine, by pestilence. And there shall be neither escape nor survival unto the remnant of Judah, who hath been entering unto to sojourn, who have been entering to sojourn there unto the land of Egypt, that they should return to the land of Judah, even when they are lifted up their soul or nephesh to the return to dwell there, for none shall return saving fugitives. In verse 15, then all men who knew that their wives were burning incense to other Elohims, and all the women standing by, a great convocation with all the people who were dwelling in the land of Egypt, in Pathros, made answer unto Jeremiah, saying, as touching the word which thou hast spoken unto us, in the name of Yahweh, we are not going to hearken unto thee. What are you talking about? Just blatant. Yeah, no, we're not. Go away. Basically, is what they're doing. They're chasing them away, which we will deal with it from time to time when we speak the words. But we will certainly do the whole thing that has gone forth out of our own mouth by burning incense into the Queen of the Heavens and pouring out to her drink offerings, just as we and our fathers and our kings and our princesses did in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem. What, do you see a recipe of making the same bad batch after the same bad batch? Then they were filled with calamity. Then were we filled with bread and became prosperous. And calamity saw we none. Whereas from the very time we ceased burning incense to the Queen of the Heavens and pouring out of the drink offerings, we have lacked everything. So in other words, from the time that they quit worshiping all the false idols, everything just went to pieces. We had it so great in Egypt, and yet Yahweh was taking care of them. He was taking care of them, but it was their sins and their crimes that they did, and their false worship that got them in the predicament that they were at. But now they see it that while we were doing these things, things were prosperous. We had things great. Well, they're a completely backward mindset. And you see that with people who even have like addictions of things. As long as I have that fat, dumb, and heavy, I'm good to go. Okay? And so this is what we're seeing here again. That we lacked everything, and by sword and by famine have we been consumed. In verse 19, as though we were burning incense to the Queen of the Heavens and pouring out to her drink offerings, is it without our men that we have made our sacrificial cakes and images of her and poured out to her drink offerings? Would somebody do from 20 to 28 for me, please?
Then spake Jeremiah unto all the people against the men and against the women, and against all the people who had been making any answer unto him, saying, was it not the very incense which he burned in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, ye and your fathers, your kings and your princes and the people of the land, was it not those very things that Yahweh did remember and that came up on his heart, so that Yahweh could no longer forbear because of the wickedness of your doing, because of the abominations which he committed? And your land became a desolation and an astonishment and a contempt without inhabitants, as at this day? Because that ye burn incense, and that ye sin against Yahweh, and hearken not unto the voice of Yahweh, and in his law, and in his statutes, and in his testimonies did not walk, for this cause did this calamity befall you as at this day.
And 2:28, if you will.
And Jeremiah said unto all the people and unto all the women, hear ye the word of Yahweh, all Judah, who are in the land of Egypt. Thus saith Yahweh of hosts, Elohim of Israel, saying, ye and your wives have both spoken with your mouth and with your hands, have ye fulfilled, saying, we will certainly perform our vows which we have vowed to burn incense to the Queen of the heavens and to pour out to her drink offerings. The women will certainly confirm your vows and certainly perform your vows. Therefore hear ye the word of Yahweh, all Judah who are dwelling in the land of Egypt. Behold me, I have sworn by my great name, saith Yahweh, that my name shall no more be invoked by the mouth of any man of Judah, saying, by the life of my Lord Yahweh and all the land of Egypt. Behold me watching over them for calamity and not for blessing. So shall the men of Judah who were in the land of Egypt be consumed by sword and by famine until there be an end of them. Yet the fugitives of the sword shall certainly return out of the land of Egypt into the land of Judah. Men easily counted that all the remnant of Judah who are entering Egypt to sojourn there may know whose word shall stand, mine or theirs.
Yeah, they go in there. Whose word's going to stand, mine or theirs, okay? I know who I'm betting on. But the reason I show this is even within the stubbornness of ourselves, where somebody might confront a person and say, hey, this is a problem, this is an issue, and then the person attacks them, and it's like, no, I am going to do that. Well, that's what we see here. And so as we see this, these people absolutely made their initial vow that meant nothing. But the vow that they actually did mean, that they swore by their vow, that we will do this, we still are going to pour this out to Mother Nature, Mother Earth, Mother whoever, okay, that they're doing this, to false idols, to false Elohims. And that's what we see. And so as we come down to the indignation, you can see, that you can just feel the wrath of Yahweh as he says that. Whose word will stand? Mine or yours? Okay, yeah, absolutely, because we know exactly what's going to happen. Alright, many people like Israel make promises to Yahweh with or without intention of keeping those promises. And that's the whole gist of it. The bidding of Yahweh, again, is for us to be doing the desires and the words of Yahweh firstly before the things that we want to do. And so as we're praying for things and we're interceding for things we're supposed to be doing, something else, you may have something on your heart that you've been doing, and Yahweh may, we're going to put that on hold temporarily. Come back to it. But we're going to put that on hold and be ready to do that. So if someone says, hey, you need to go do this right now. All right, I'm going to put everything on hold. I'll go do that. The bidding of Yahweh, the words, the wisdom, the direction that Yahweh's calling. But will only follow through if it benefits them, fits in their plans and ideas, meets their understanding and comfort level. The comfort level is a big one. If Yahweh tells somebody, they tell you to go out and stand on a corner and speak to 50 or 60 people, and you're like going, I hate public speaking. That's a comfort level thing, and it's a big one. It's a real big thing where you're like going, he's telling you to do this. Guess what? He'll put the words in your mouth as you go do it. Okay? He's going to equip you on this battlefield. He will equip you. Something they really want. So a couple of them here we don't have to turn to. Daniel 3:17, if it is our Elohim whom we serve, is able to deliver us out of the burning furnace of fire, and out of thy hand, O King, he will deliver. Now listen to this caveat that they said. But if not, be it known to thee, O King, that thy Elohim we will not serve, an image of gold which thou hast set up we will not adore. Yahweh will save us, but even if he doesn't, not going to do it. I'm not breaking this. I'm not going to break it. I'm like going, boy, that's bold. That's very bold to say that, to come out and say that, because he will save us. He hasn't saved us yet, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to your false idols. And Isaiah 31:1, alas for them who are going down to Egypt for help. On horses would rely. Okay, he's talking about the strength of this. On horses would rely and have trusted in chariots because they are many, and in the horsemen because they are very bold, but have not looked unto the Holy One of Israel and unto Yahweh have not sought. Okay? And so that's it. They're looking at their own strength. And so many times you see in the Word, you see the most powerful people who might be by themselves or have onesies and twosies or a small group of people. okay, to go against entire armies. And so when we put ourselves that we're financially strong, we're everything's great, we're comfortable, we're happy, and now we can go out and do anything, okay, that Yahweh wanted them to seek Him first. Yahweh will direct. He'll tell you what to do. What's His bidding? He'll tell you. If you're going out to do something that you think you're supposed to be doing, and you intercede for it, and Yahweh says, don't do it. Okay, thank you. Glad I didn't go do that.
Yeah.
Okay, and that's exactly what they're referring to there in Isaiah 31. I do believe that this is our last one, if I'm not mistaken. Let's go to 1 Samuel 12:14. Wrap it up here. Church. Chana! Ooh, she goes three.
Page 299.
And will somebody read that for me, please? Verses 14 and 15 of chapter 12.
If ye will revere Yahweh and serve Him and hearken unto His voice and not rebel against the bidding of Yahweh, then shall both ye and your king that reigneth over you continue to follow after Yahweh your Elohim. But if ye hearken not unto the voice of Yahweh, but rebel against the bidding of Yahweh, then will the hand of Yahweh continue to be against you and against your father.
That's it. And the bidding of Yahweh is only in the Rotherham. Actually, I don't know about the Youngs. I did not check the Youngs. But it's not in the other translations. It's only in the Old Testament. And I love how they do that and how they put that, the bidding stuff, because people know what that means. This is the coaxing of, if you will. Okay, so the biddings of, people understand that. And so that's exactly it. That sums it all up right there. Obviously, that was for the king. But this is very applicable to us in our lives as well. Okay? And that is it. So I'm going to go ahead, and I will close here with a word, and then I have a word for the millions around the world who are watching.
I'm watching that picture. I mean, that is just blessed in my soul.
Well, I love it because they had a whole bunch of those where something jumps in the camera, you know. Normally, it's people who do that. They have a group of people.
Photo bomb.
Yeah, where they try to. As soon as they see somebody taking a picture, they wait, and they just pop their head sideways. And it makes me laugh because the pictures are absolutely hilarious. But I'm like going, boy, it's pretty tough to plan that one out. I'm like, well, great. I'm going to go ahead and close, and I'm going to have a word for the people watching on camera as well. Yahweh, we thank You for the words that You give us. We thank You for the written word that You have that we are able to learn and just glean so many things from it. It's from the history, so that we do not repeat the history and the mistakes that had taken place with the people, and that are prone to happen for people who are slacking or not paying attention to those times. That we're able to learn from the success and the stories and the promises and the hope that is in the Word, that we are able to anchor to these things and hold strong to these, that these guide us, and that Your Word guides us, and the fact that You have given us Spirit, You've given us the Ruah, that we are able to communicate with You, Yahweh, and hear Your words and speak the truth that You put upon us. And we thank You for that, for a wonderful week, and just for the changing year of the weather. We just thank You for all these things, and we are greatly in abundance of so many wonderful things here in this country. And we thank You for that we stand with these things, that we recognize You first, and we put on Your will and your desires, that we are the master. You are the master of us, and that under Your Son, that He guides us. We are brothers and sisters of Him. We thank You for that, for Christ, for what You did to pay for us to have that authority, and that we do not just slack that authority, but we put that at the forefront, and we look for the opportunities to speak these things, to do Your word, and to exercise that which You paid so dearly for. We thank You for all this, and in Christ Jesus' name, I just say this all. And as you approach the newness in your lives, or the new things that you are seeking, know that I am calling for you to come to Me first. Put everything to the side and come to Me first. Seek My response first. Know that as you do these things, make it a sacrifice that you wait for the things that are of your flesh, or the things that you want, to include the meals, to include the morning times, or the times that you come home from work and you're wanting to sit, relax, or do the things that your body's telling you. But come to Me first. For as you do these things, as you sacrifice your flesh, coming to Me first and interceding with Me, I will fill you with the wisdom, with the answer that you're seeking. For I see somebody who is earnestly seeking to get responses from Yahweh. Somebody that has a sick relative or a sick friend, and they're seeking these things on, what am I to do? How am I to do this? Why is this taking place? And Yahweh's calling you to calm yourself, bring yourself before, and come humbly and with graciousness and with gratitude and just with joy in your heart as you speak to Yahweh and you intercede for the things to do, for the healings, the things that are able to be done, that you're able to console those around you and be able to speak truth in life, that you become the beacon and not the condition, but you become the answer and the reason for the light to just shine within this place. And for all those people who are speaking, for it's easy for us to look down, to see our feet and feel that, oh, it's terrible, things are horrible. But to be looking up and to see the things and to see the flash of light as the healing comes forth. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Wow. Well, thank you all. Another week. Next week we'll be at Aaron's house. Thank you guys. Have a wonderful week and Yahweh bless.
Thank you, Tim.
All right.
Everybody remember
about the why and then those